My name is John Doherty.
I'm Sean Evans.
And we're here today, and what we're going to talk about a little bit is some of the lessons we have learned through the last, oh God, it's 6 years now.
It is now 6 years.
Of presenting information on the USA Patriot Act to various audiences, and how our presenting to these audiences sometimes gave us some interesting feedback in regards to how those presentations could have gone differently, especially as we look at some of the ideas of presenting controversial materials.
And part of what, you know, what we're about and why we're here today is that we thought we might be able to, first of all, encourage you all to take up the cudgels and talk about controversial issues with your library constituents, your fellow librarians, your professionals, your community, but also how to do it so maybe you don't get fried. Yeah. Or fired. Yes. Precise. It's the same word, just rearrange the letters. So, you know, we're hoping that, you know, while it's about the Patriot Act, you see the Patriot Act up here, we're not, this is not a nitty-gritty what's in section 205C112 of the Patriot Act. We're not going into that. We're going to talk about what it's been like over the last 6 years to be talking about the Patriot Act and maybe where this stuff has gone.
So we always started our sessions with our audiences, telling them a little bit about what's going to happen today. And for those of you that are copyright police, no, we did not get clearance for this. So
you had to tell them.
Yes. Hence no handouts. We have handouts and various archival materials that we have used throughout the years on a website that we will give you a link to at the end. So you'll see some of the PowerPoints that we will be showing here and some of our notes that we've shared with others throughout the history of doing this presentation.
So worse than using PowerPoint to do our presentation, you can see the history of our PowerPoints to do this presentation.
I think it runs to about 6 versions of PowerPoint at this point, but we will talk about it as we go along. So one of the things we're going to do is give a brief overview of what the USA Patriot Act is for those of you that might not be completely aware of what we're going to be talking about. Then just talk about some of the issues that we saw around intellectual freedom and how intellectual freedom we think helps us make some of the choices that we made with our presentations. And then the lessons, even though we made choices up front, oh boy, sometimes we actually had to make choices afterwards for the next time. And then some, when we say oh boy, some of this idea of community reactions. Because we did get some very interesting community reactions to some of the presentations that we made.
Okay, brief overview of the USA Patriot Act and kind of how we got to this. When the Bush administration began in 2001, there were a number of kind of alarming, at least for us, library types, information cessations. There were federal databases that were closed down. There was the whole thing about the executive order regarding previous presidential papers and things that the Bush administration seemed to be trying to get control of. And I began researching it. I wrote and did a couple of presentations. One of the things that popped up was a little known law called the USA Patriot Act. As by way of introduction, very few people know that it's not USA Patriot. It is uniting and strengthening America by providing appropriate tools required to intercept and obstruct terrorism. It was passed in the fall of 2006, 60 days?
2001,
sorry. Yeah. But 60 days after September 11th.
30 days.
Yeah. It was very short. And that's how long it's been. We're starting to forget the significant bits.
That actually took them longer to come up with USA Patriot Act and figure out how to put the words into the acronym than it did for them to actually come up with the law.
It's virtually unreadable because it changes. More than 100 pieces of federal legislation had been passed to that point. It's changes in the U.S. Code. But the other thing I want you to notice is these things, note to federal government, these things come to libraries, they sit pristinely on the shelf unless the end cap falls over, and no one ever touches them until the bound volume comes in. And so, you know, paper in, garbage out kind of thing. This thing is mauled, and it was kind of unique because as a federal depository librarian at that time, this stuff, you couldn't give it away. You couldn't make people look at it. So people were coming in and asking about it. And over the time that we've been presenting, this thing has been checked out and used and played with.
One of the thrills that we've got is actually the people have come after we've talked to them about it, and they have come and they've wanted to read it. When we say it's no longer a hidden topic, at least among our audiences, we did have a lot of people that would follow up and do a lot of the research on their own and come back to us. When we were getting ready for today, we say here that the USA Patriot Act has moved into the mainstream, just decided, let's do Wikipedia. Librarians, we're not supposed to like Wikipedia. I love Wikipedia. I think there's a lot of really great things in there, and there's some research that says Wikipedia, about 85% of what's in it is correct. 85% of what's in Encyclopedia Britannica is correct. At least with Wikipedia, we can fix the mistakes immediately. With Encyclopedia Britannica, we have to wait for the next edition. But one of the founders of Wikipedia said that he kind of considers something that's become fact, quote unquote, when it stops being edited and stops being controversial. We were looking, and if you go into Wikipedia and just click on the history tab of any entry, you'll see what's been going on. That's the wonderful part of the social component of wikis and such like. And USA Patriot Act, no significant edits have been done to the Wikipedia entry since 2006. So for about 2 years now, it's been relatively quiescent in regards to, now I wouldn't say that what's in Wikipedia is completely factual, at least in this entry. There are still some issues with the polemics of it, but at the same time, it's no longer really being edited for some reason.
Well, I think that, you know, again, when John and I first started to talk about this, this was kind of, if not secretive, at least not well-known act. And so people needed, you know, people had heard about it but didn't know what it meant or how it impacted them. And rather than trying to speak on all 100 and some legal changes, we tended to focus in on just sections 205, 206, and 207. And those dealt with the wiretapping, the internet tracing, and the library medical and bank records portions that kind of, you know, basically turned us all into terrorists. So, an opinion. Sorry.
Another part of the mainstreaming of USA Patriot Act is YouTube, another social networking website. And there's this wonderful video of a couple of Arab American students. It starts with this very Arab Muslim looking gentleman looking into his mailbox, and then someone leaning over him with the FBI written on, and follows just this idea of just how Patriot Act for at least certain members of our population has become very concerning. And it's interesting that it's had 13,500 hits as of last week, and it's the most recent of 853 videos. If you do USA Patriot Act, Patriot Act itself has crossed over into this mainstream that especially at a university level our students are very aware of, and they're keeping very much close attention to.
So what is it like, or what does it mean to be a librarian these days? Where are we with information? Where are we with intellectual freedom? What are the constraints we operate under?
What does it mean to be a librarian in 2008?
Be a librarian in 2008 is to be flexible. It's to be building towards a future that includes juried and authentic and accurate and truthful information. And it's to be very worried about the trustworthiness of our government information.
I also wanted to add that being a librarian also means being technologically savvy and being aware of all the social networks that are available and how it affects our users, and also being knowledgeable about intellectual property as well as information literacy. That's even more important today than ever because of all the social networks out there and everything that's available.
Okay, thank you.
It's a very important question, especially when we're starting to deal with issues like the USA Patriot Act. You start naming other controversial issues that librarians might be asked to stand up in front of an audience and talk about. We self-chose to do the USA Patriot Act, somewhat regretting it maybe in a couple of times when we were standing in front of audiences. But the idea is we have this wonderful thing, know yourself and know your audience. And know why I'm a librarian. Now, why am I even standing here talking about some of these issues? This other side of it too is then knowing who am I talking to. Today we're probably preaching somewhat to the choir when we talk about intellectual freedom. When we talk to our university faculty, pretty much so too. When we talk to our students, there's where we started to head into some unknown territories. And then we were then talking to our community. We began this really a conversation. As academic librarians, we felt it was necessary to talk to our community. Sean began talking in regards to how it was affecting government information. I went away to a teaching retreat and started talking about the Patriot Act as it will affect us in the classroom as teachers. And then it moved on then. People from that were actually inviting us into their classroom. NAU, around about 2001, 2002, we had a freshman required class. So we were being invited into those classes with our first year students. Criminal justice was inviting us into their political science. Then our faculty development program heard about it and said, come talk to us about what this means to us as teachers. And that also allowed us at that point, it opened the door to actually, for the first time in this entire evolution, did we actually present to our colleagues at the library. And then the community, and we'll talk about some of the issues as we go through this and some of the choices that we made based on what we thought we were doing.
So know your audience. What we have here are two different tiles from two different PowerPoints. The one on the left is a fairly early one, and it looks very benign. You will notice the action figure librarian doll. I mean, very cuddly. Yep, very, very cuddly, very approachable. On the right, we have something from one of our latter ones, and you see it's got the Statue of Liberty, two very different symbols at work here. Plus, as John pointed out to me earlier today, I'd forgotten it, the background to the one on the right is actually the scales of justice. So whether we meant to or not, we were starting to load up imagery. Okay.
And then one of the interesting things is in the early 2002, 2003, we as a profession, we were right up front. Our major political leadership was actually librarians were becoming anathema to, I think John Ashcroft himself talked about us behind our backs. So we were seeing and we were actually telling our audience right up front, why are we here? Well, we're here because librarians are at the fore of some of the challenges to the Patriot Act that are going through the courts. Then we got this really great quote from a librarian in Seattle, James Quinn. Our whole American way of life is a great war of ideas, and librarians are the arms dealers selling weapons to both sides. And no, it's a wonderful quote, but of course, rhetorically, arms dealers in 2002 selling weapons to both sides, maybe that might have been a slightly wrong choice. And two, that also predicated the librarian action figure. And this was the kind of presentation we were making to our primary clientele, the 18 to 24-year-old college undergraduate student. And so these kind of helped to think about the reaction Nancy Pearl would have gotten with an 18-year-old who has these wonderful preconceptions about librarians. And then they get two guys, Irish guys, standing in front of them with Hawaiian shirts.
Trademark Hawaiian shirt.
And then Nancy Pearl, action figure, and Sean actually brought the action figure with him. Then our audience changed. As we moved away from students and we moved more into our community and to our faculty colleagues, then that's where we started maybe looking again at changing some things. And we were very deliberate in going and finding these inscriptions from the Statue of Liberty and choosing Abraham Lincoln and Franklin Roosevelt. Because we have here two very quotes about the idea that the United States is based on sharing of information, liberty and freedom. They're coming from war presidents. And that allowed us to juxtapose some of the ideas that were coming currently from a war president. The quote from Abraham Lincoln is, our defense is in the spirit which prized liberty as the heritage of all men in all lands everywhere. Destroy this spirit and you have planted the seeds of despotism at your own doors.
And the FDR one is, liberty is the air America breathes in the future days. Which we seek to make secure, we look forward to a world founded upon four essential freedoms: freedom of speech and expression, freedom of worship, freedom from want, freedom from fear. We started off quoting librarians and then realized as we moved into the community that those folks probably wouldn't resonate. And so we thought going to more political, overtly political quotes might make it more relevant. And I think what it in fact did was release some gas vapor into the room.
Perfect example of what you were saying. I was thinking of this next slide. Is on the left-hand side, we were talking to libraries. Why is this important? Why are librarians standing in front of you talking about this? Why not the FBI or someone else? And we were saying back when we were writing this slide in 2002, libraries is the third most frequent place people access the internet. Public, academic, whatever. In our library at that time, every one of our computers, and we had somewhere in the region of 120, was open to the public. But if people were coming in based on the USA Patriot Act, I think it was Section 215, the wiretap section, how could they be sure that what they're doing on this computer is not being monitored in some way, shape, or form? If I were being someone monitored and I'm sitting at my computer doing work, then I get up and go away, and Sean comes over and sits down. Well, if this computer is the one being monitored, now they're monitoring what Sean's doing too. These are things librarians were talking about in 02, 03, 04.
And I don't know if you guys had a similar experience, but we had a very remote reference desk from our bank of computers. Very remote, 20 steps. You know, they weren't clustered around our desk. And our administrators, God bless them, were saying, you know, you're getting kind of lardy. Get up, move around, talk to people. And so we were doing that. But what we were finding was, as we walked behind people, they were kind of hunching over and protecting what they were looking at. And it wasn't until someone actually said, why are you doing this, man? I want some privacy. That we started to realize that perhaps there was a cause and effect going on. Whether it was, you know, overtly about the Patriot Act or about something else.
On the left-hand side is a slide that we developed for our faculty development program. And it raised an issue of what is academic freedom. In the university, academic freedom is important to what we do.
And our faculty were saying, you know, I never thought by asking my students to research topics X, Y, or Z, maybe what was going on in Iraq at the time, or the Middle East, or Saudi Arabia, or 9/11, or Al-Qaeda, that they're going right to the library, typing in these terms. If someone is monitoring, what are we doing? We're red flagging our own students, potentially. And that was an eye-opener to them as well.
Like we did at the beginning, we kind of like to sort of set the scene and a little bit sort of say who we are, where we're from, why maybe the biases that we are bringing to the room are biases that you, the audience, should be aware of. By admitting our biases, I think we also validate to a certain extent what we're trying to say. Because then the audience can sort of say, okay, I now know where they're coming from.
And we had to be very upfront about that. I mean, as the docs geek, I had to say, look, you know, I've got this document, and this is what's contained in it, and this is how I feel as an information professional your lives could be affected. We could talk about what we were seeing as the impact, but we also had to admit that we're from this little kind of pristine white tower. And I think even for members of the Flagstaff community, NAU stands apart. So by admitting that's who we are, what our political background is.
This was kind of a scene setter as people came into the room on our faculty development workshop. And these scenes were kind of running in the background. And the idea being it was going to set the scene for where I grew up and where Sean's mom came from. And then that allowed me to establish, you know, my bias. I'm from Northern Ireland. I grew up in Northern Ireland. Very highly developed sense of social justice. And so we kind of put these things up here.
Talk about gasoline and fires.
Part of it is this idea of we were adding voice. Now, first of all, we were kind of trying to establish our voice. But then we stole somebody else's voice, quite deliberately, not realizing what we were actually doing, because this actually is a very good summary, in some instances, of our point of view of the USA Patriot Act. However, it's Michael Moore. And when we did this to our community, Michael Moore, we didn't realize just how much people don't like Michael Moore.
This is one of our favorites. This is a great little $25 DVD from the ACLU. Another little bit of gasoline that you might want to think about. And here they're talking about the lawsuit the ACLU filed to find out about potential spying in the Patriot Act, and their own brief was made secret. But I think that what John and I were trying to do here was, number one, little web 2.0, be a little modern, bring in some alternative voices, but we weren't considering consequences. The point was, I think, that as we talk among ourselves, we all do have clearly held opinions and ideas. And I think it's sometimes a mistake, unless we're very, very good at it, to hide those from the people we serve. And so we were finding, at least initially, that we had a modicum of success in explaining what the Patriot Act was and why we thought so by trying to be honest about who we were and what we were saying.
As academics, we recognize we have a lot of freedom in some of the things that we can and do say. Because we work in a community of scholars where academic freedom is, you know, one of the single most important defining concepts of a university, we don't always look at ourselves solely as librarians, but as educators. And questioning library neutrality challenges librarians to think more along the lines of being educators. A student comes to me, a science student, and is going to be doing research on creationism. Do I redirect that student to evolution and say, this is not science? It's politically a hot topic, but it's not science. Some would say no, some would say yes. That book actually argues that maybe we should be thinking more about saying yes.
Well, and I think that one of the premises we started with is we do like to think of ourselves as information providers of being neutral. Now, if you were to present on a controversial topic that is important to you, and of course I think that emotional tag is good. You know, you're being asked to explain the advantages of front-wheel drive over rear-wheel drive in modern automotive engineering. You might be able to do it because we're librarians and we can find that information, but it might just not, you know, grab your heart. But think about a controversial topic and then look at the questions we're asking. What are three concepts of that topic you might cover? What would you say about your topic? And then maybe more importantly, what would you not say about your topic?
And then I would add a further question to that is, why? Why are you not saying it? And that helps to answer, too, a question about your audience. Now, if my audience might not appreciate me saying that, or I need to be more neutral, so I'm going to present a much more balanced
legally,
point of view.
I can't say it.
For example, one of the sessions that we were asked to present to, we were actually invited at NEU. We have an institute in our College of Arts and Letters, the Martin Springer Institute, funded and supported by two survivors of the Nazi concentration camps. And every year they commemorate, if that's the appropriate word, Kristallnacht. And we got an invite to come present on the USAA Patriot Act at the Kristallnacht commemorations. No, we actually turned that one down. All of these questions at this point, first of all, it was actually rhetorically attaching us to something that no matter what we can say about what's going on in our country today, it is not comparable to what happened in Germany in the 1930s. And to even just be there sponsored at that event is kind of just saying that right up front. There are issues that we feel need to be addressed, but when we come into that context, we already probably have a lot of our audience, especially as most of them would be community members, they would have some issues. And so we just said, you know, can we do this a different time? A time that's not as charged with these issues, historical issues, and we like the fact that you guys want to sponsor us. And actually, one of our last presentations we did was actually through the Martin Springer Institute. They sponsored it, but it was more in February around other activities our students were doing at that time, and that brought in our community and allowed us not be as charged politically as we could have possibly been at that time.
Or so we thought.
So we thought. Reactions. So actually, we set the scene with this Martin Springer Institute presentation. We actually, for the first time, we were in a room of about 150 people had turned out for it. It was a lecture theater, so that was even more interesting. Actually had reporters so in the room, and little did we know, we actually didn't know they were there until the very end. And we presented, we did our usual stuff, we added some things, we talked about the issues that we thought were important. Our audience interacted with us, they asked us questions about the Patriot Act, its implications. And then Annie Braun came up and interviewed us. This is the Arizona Daily Sun. This is Flagstaff's local. And this was front page on the Arizona Daily Sun on Sunday.
Well, you know your day's off to an interesting start. I don't know if you start your Sundays like I do, but you know, usually you stagger out of the bedroom and you grab a coffee cup and you have the death grip on it and the cats are milling about your feet. And you know, you're trying to get the cats calmed down and get your coffee and, you know, and then your wife comes in and says, oh, look, you're on the front page of the paper. You know, your reaction usually, you know, involves a couple of expletives, you know, so, oh no, what did they catch me doing? And here it was.
Two local librarians say patrons are thinking twice before checking out certain books on risky topics such as the Taliban or Islam because of the Anti-Terror Patriot Act. We didn't say that.
We didn't say that, and they obviously missed the whole shtick about how you cite the Patriot Act. So this was a young lady who wasn't, you know, paying complete attention. But, you know, as you read through it, it wasn't too bad. It wasn't too bad. It was a little bit of promo. We'll lie low. We'll go down to Prescott for a couple of weeks. No one will know.
This is the letter page, letters column to the letter to the editor.
With mounting nausea, I read, librarians, Patriot Act has led to self-censorship. I defy these gentlemen to name one abuse of library patrons' civil liberties under the Patriot Act over the course of the last 5 years in the entire U.S. And it closes with this really lovely phrase. I can only say that I hope the terrorists get these people before they get me. I'll mourn the tip of their little finger as the only body part remaining in the blood and mush from a bomb attack. Thank you very much, Dr. Patricia
Helvenston.
Yes. So,
I'm pretty proud of that.
I am too. I mean, we barely got the podcast stuff together, you know.
And we say I'm the tip of the little finger brigade.
Now, mind you, this is 1 week later. So now we are 1 week later, thinking we've dodged most of the bullets. I'm staggering out to the kitchen to get the cup of coffee and wrangle the cats, and Karen jumps up again and says, oh, look at this. And on Monday, our dean said, oh, look at this. Could you have thought about telling us before I hear about it from the provost? So this one went rocket on us. So John and I had a little session in our office area. And you know, John's a good Irishman. He has a pretty high flash point, but once it flashes, it's a little tough to extinguish. And he, you know, I think he spent the day formulating good letters to write.
I already had a draft ready to go as a response when I walked into Sean's office.
And
because I wasn't going to let this one go away.
It was very tough.
But it was a good lesson for me in that Sean said, calm down, let it go, don't respond. It's fuel to the fire. And one of the things that we've discovered since then is that in this instance, this reaction was just so far out there, so abusive in some respects, that we could let it go. Because within days, we actually had a lot of defenders, none of whom we actually know or paid, come out and actually take this writer to task. And it has been very interesting. We haven't seen anything from Dr. Helvenston
ever since.
In the paper since.
So, yeah, I think she got kind of pummeled there. But what was interesting is I believe this person is faculty at NAU, or was at the time. And there is a possibility they knew about our work. What was interesting was the letter writer, and this is where unintended consequences can arise. The letter writer, who wrote the first letter wishing us to be blown to bits, did not attend our talk. So it was spillover effect, a completely unintended consequence. And here's another one from a visiting professor of English from the U of A, so we had, you know, friends from down south. So, but mind you, this does give you a considerable amount of pucker at your job and at your workplace. And our dean and our library executives knew that we were the guys to go to on the Patriot Act. They would actually send people to us. They would actually help find us venues on campus. But when this one hit, it was sort of like, wow, we didn't know we were playing with fire like that. And so it was a combination, I think, of the evolution of the audiences we were talking to and the evolution of our little PowerPoint slides and some of the things we were saying. And then ultimately, the involvement of the media.
Ultimately, you don't know who's listening. I think the lesson that we learned was that we lost control of our message almost from the minute we spoke it. Again, that idea of knowing why we're there and knowing who our audience is maybe would have helped us a little bit more. Had we looked around and understood a little bit more about that community group that was there, we might have had a better sense of how we could have directed our message more. The message got lost in these kinds of attacks.
Okay, we're getting real close on our time. This is a little web page John's put together. You can go to it. You can go to the current presentation. You can go to the previous presentations in case you really need to relive those moments. We've got our little PowerPoints and other things up there. Please make use of the Discussing Intellectual Freedom blog spot We will respond to your questions there. You've got our email addresses. We would love to hear from you if you have questions. And particularly if you're going to embark on speaking on an issue, we'll certainly give you our cheap opinions on how not to get fried, or how to get fried, if you prefer to do that.
One thing we would say, too, is we had each other to bounce things off. We had colleagues that we could go talk to. And sometimes that might not be so easy, especially depending on how controversial you want to go. So certainly, you know, this is a place that, well, as a community, we can come together. And if there's some things that you want to present on, you might be able to get some interesting feedback and thoughts on ways to do it and avoid getting your head cut off in the same instance.
Glad you didn't get
Thank you. Not yet.
Looking good.